I'm really excited about what God's doing. Just this, when I prepared for tonight, I've got such an excitement just for Cape Town and specifically for this church and for this region, just in terms of the prophetic, what God wants to do through us as a church. So I'm based in Somerset West. I love coming here and worshiping with you guys. But so Burns asked me to just chat to you guys about prophetic worship and just how that ties in with the prophetic series that you guys are doing here this week. So I'm not going to talk long. I want us to get practical tonight. So I just want to give you a few, just want to explain a few principles around it, because I think for some of you it might be a little bit airy-fairy, like it used to be for me when they still asked me the one time to teach on the topic. I'm like, you want what? You want me to? Because I was clueless. So I did a lot of research and then actually found quite a few scriptures on the prophetic. You know, I was delighted to see that it's in the Word. It's in the Bible. Prophetic worship, that it's in the Word. So I'm gonna share a little bit on that. And then what I want us to do is just, like, tonight to me is not, like, it would be great if we can move things in the Spirit and stuff, like when we prophesy afterwards. But to me, I'm really seeing this as a time that we can come together in a safe environment as God's people to study and to learn around the topic, around prophetic. So I'm really seeing this as a workshop, you know. So there's no, I wouldn't say there's no wrong answer or no wrong, I just want to actually, we must relax, you know. So that's the first place I think we often too tensed up, and then we just like stay away from it because we worry, like, what if you make a mistake, you know. And because we're in the Father's house, we shouldn't really worry about that. If our heart is to worship Him, is to glorify His name, if we really, yeah, just come humbly before Him, we don't really need to worry about that, you know. So there's no pressure. I think that's the first thing that you need to really understand around the prophetic, is the guys, the prophets, even in the Old Testament, you know, God can prophesy through anybody. If He can't use a man, He will use a donkey. You know, it's not you don't have to be perfect. We are all made perfect through the blood of Christ, you know. So we all come through that veil. We come through that cleansing, through that, what God has done through His blood, and we cleansed, you know. So we don't need to do anything more. He's done it all. So He's forgiven our sins. That's dealt with. So, like, at that point, when you think about the prophetic, what does that mean? What is it? What does God want us from us? Okay. So the first scripture is actually, I'm just going to dive straight into the concept around prophetic worship. So Chronicles, this was really an eye-opener for me. So this is David's band in the Old Testament. Like, he had something like, it's not in here, but it's like hundreds of trained musicians in his band, and they could all play prophetically. So let's read together. Moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, of Heman and Judithan, who should prophesy with harp, string instruments, and cymbals. So, like, there's no voices there. It's like your first thing that you need to note is they're prophesying on instruments. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit on that. And the number of the skilled men performing their service was sons of Asaph, all those guys, sons of Asaph in the direction of Asaph, who prophesied according to the order of the king. And that's another thing I want you to note. Under the order of the king, King David. So he would order them and say, prophesy, and they would do it under his order. I'm going to speak on that as well. Okay, so of Judith and the sons of, it's basically just more of the guys. Direction of the father, Judith, that last bit, prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Okay, so the instruments popular at that time, as you can see, harps mentioned twice in the scripture. It's like a popular instrument, stringed instruments, cymbals. And Asaph was actually the worship leader of David's band. Okay, so he used to go in front, and he's a drummer. Okay, so he was the percussionist, and it's so we still need to actually, Altus, you should actually come stand right here in front. Drum should be like this, and I think the reason for that is just it's such a powerful it's such a powerful instrument because it really directs the flow of music, like the rhythm. If you change the rhythm, or not even the tempo, like the type of rhythm, it can change from a lullaby to a rock song. You know, it's literally when the drums come and they take over, and then they start playing, like everything's quiet again, you know. So it's a very powerful instrument, and when it's applied correctly, with the prophecy, with the prophetic, it really, that's why when I've got to play or lead in warfare situations, like F4, or if you go out and you need to move something, like if there's something that needs a break in the spirit, I always ask the organizers to just at least send me one percussionist or as many as they can get hold of, you know, because it's really just such a powerful instrument. It's actually quite easy to play. How many of you can play djembe drum? Quite a few of you. I really want to encourage you to get Altus to do a workshop. We've done a few in Somerset West. It really went great, like a drum circle. You get a few djembe drums. He teaches you all the basic rhythms, and then you can play it. Not like professionally as he is, but you can play it in cell, and you can get around. It's not like learning to play the piano, which will take you a couple of weeks, you know. No. The two things that I pointed out here is, as I said, they prophesied on the instruments. Okay, so there's no singing involved here. And how do you think that works? Like, who of you can explain that to me? Like, prophesying on an instrument, what does that mean? Okay, let's take it one step back. Prophecy. What is a prophecy? Okay. It's declaring what God is saying. Okay. So a prophet is just the person that does that. Okay. So if you're a prophetic worshiper, then the very simple definition is you're just prophesying, you're playing what you hear God wants you to play. So it's just playing God's message on your instrument, and you can even take it further. Who of you dance? Any dancers? Just one, two. I know there are more of you. You're hiding away. Yeah. So dancing is also very is very prophetic. You know, it's with your body making movements to God's rhythm. So when that goes into the prophetic, it's literally making movements which are inspired by God's Spirit, and which actually, yeah, it's got a it's prophesying with your body. It's prophesying what God wants you to do. The same with the instrument. If you play a tune, I've been in so many scenarios where someone in the band would just, like, they would play something, and it would catch your ear. And then if that person is given room to play, often that's also what I want to chat to you about, it's just creating that space. Because we like to come with our plans and our structure that's all blessed, but we need to make room for the prophetic, okay? So when that person gets a tune, a melody, and he starts playing it, it often just, like, it goes into, like, a direction, and when everybody follows that sound, it's God prophesying on that instrument, on that musician, and he's saying something to us in the spirit, which actually needs to be discerned. It's almost like you can compare it with someone bringing a tongue, and it needs interpretation. So often when prophetic worship or even prophetic praise, when that happens, we wait afterwards, and God would come, and then people would just come up word after word after word, and they're bringing the interpretation of what God just prophesied through his musicians. And it comes back from way back, like in David's time. And it's interesting, if you look at what's my computer doing, you know? So next scripture, Amos 9. It's a prophecy that says, it says, on that day I will raise up a tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, repair its damages. I'll raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. And that is what God is still busy doing, even today. He's raising up the tabernacle of David. And that just, to me, it just ties in with what the guys did. Like what David did, he was a king and he was a priest. Okay, so he was a messianic figure. He's a type of Christ. He wore a linen ephod, which the priest wore, and he also wore the crown. So he's both king and priest, which is an interesting combination. And that's the same authority which Jesus has. He's also a king and a priest. Okay, but also what David did was, he said, he told the musicians they need to make music in front of God's, in God's temple and in front of the Ark of the Covenant all day long. So there was music in the temple, and worship happened there like constantly. And what the guys did was, they played some of the songs probably David and the other songwriters in that time wrote, but they also prophesied on the instruments under the order of the king. So that's why, and that also sort of jumped to me, is like, you think they actually have to prophesy under the order of God, you know, but God gives a prophecy, but if the king says prophesy, they need to be like in that space. They need to be, yes, and then start playing prophetically, you know. So, and I've experienced that as administrating this. So that's also tonight, I really want to talk not only on how to prophesy, but also how to administrate. Because I think that's one of the key things that are missing in the church, is leaders who can, when you go out like on a mission trip or in your cell or when you plant a church, that we're actually equipped with the knowledge of how this whole thing works. So if you've got a bunch of, you know, I wouldn't say clueless, but people who still need to get there, that you can just facilitate. So what I've seen is this order of the king thing, I've applied that as I was in a situation where we jammed, and the one guy was playing, also he was playing on a drum, and I just felt like he need to play now. And so I said, not in that word, not in like words, you now need to prophesy, but I told him, play louder, like play like a warfare rhythm. So I sort of urge him on to prophesy. So he was like looking up to me, and he's like, but I'm just a beginner, I don't know really how to play drums, because he just started, he was a couple of weeks into drumming. And the next moment he plucked out a rhythm that's like, no way. It's like just a, so he knew it was the Spirit. And he just played this complicated like rock marching type of rhythm, and everyone just caught up on that. And it just swung the whole, and the whole atmosphere changed from like worshiping to prophetic praise. And we went into warfare, and they just kicked it off. You know, so often you actually need to just encourage other musicians or, yeah, so not all of you are musicians, but even just in when we're together tonight, even if you feel someone in next to you, I really feel God has laid a word on your heart, that God will actually show you specific people and just like, don't you want to just go share it? Often we just need a little bit of encouragement to step out and to move into the prophetic, okay? cool. I don't, Bernie probably touched on this scripture. Next one, Revelations 19, verse 10. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. So what happened here was the angel brought the prophecy, and John thought it must be God. So he fell on his face and he worshipped the angel. And the angel said, no, don't worship me, worship God. And this is a very interesting line of scripture to me. It really defines what prophecy is all about. And it's all about who Jesus is, the words that he spoke, the things that he has done. And not only when he was walking on the earth, but even now, like the testimony of Jesus in the church, in our lives, in our daily walk with him. And what so if you look at when prophecy happens, when the spirit of prophecy comes upon us, it's the testimony of Jesus that is manifest in our midst. And that is, to me, the definition of prophecy. It's just all about the revelation of Christ, about Christ revealed in our midst. And we can never have enough. There's no end to his love. There's no, like, we often think, yo, we figured out who God is, but none of us has figured him out. There's always a facet of God that still needs to be revealed to us. And that is what it's all about. God wants to remind us who he is, his character, what he's done, and restore. I really feel also ties in strongly with salvation. And where David said, God, restore to me, where he sort of backs it, where he fell away. In that prayer, he said, God, cast not away from your spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know? And I really feel God wants to, he just wants to just remind us again the power of salvation. Just that the simple message of the cross, which is, it's a simple message, but it's like where Jeremy Riddle sings, it turns the world upside down. It's like it just puts it on his head when you bring in the message of the cross. Just another scripture in Revelation 21 verse 5. I don't have it yet, but it just says, behold, I make all things new. And that's really what happens when God comes as a spirit of prophecy and revealing Christ to us. We encounter God. We encounter him like raw God. And after that, we can't be the same again. And that's why it's such a powerful gift and such a precious gift. And that's why I really feel that, you know, God wants us all to desire that specific gift where it comes into your life, or a person's life, or in environment, and he just comes and changes everything. And I know a lot of you have experienced that. Okay, so then Ephesians 5, I think I've got that up here. Verse 18 and 19, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I just want to touch on, just when it comes to different songs, types of songs, what this definition means. And you get psalms, which are psalms, it's pretty straightforward. Hymns are songs that are written by, you know, it's a song, like the stuff that we sing are mostly hymns. It's not scripture that is, it's songs written by God, inspired by God, okay? Spiritual songs can be either just singing in the spirit, or a song that is completely inspired by the Holy Spirit, okay? And then there's also a song of the Lord. Who of you knows what that is? Who of you have heard of the song of the Lord? None of you, okay. The song of the Lord is very precious, okay? That's when God comes and he sings through one of his people. So he would literally give someone a song to sing. And it's often sung to the bride, like the bridegroom comes and he gives a song and he sings over his bride. Or it might even just be, you know, the one time Valpre got us, my wife got a song in intercession, which we gave to the songwriting committee to crit, and we wanted to sing it in church. But what Greg said was, you can't change anything because it's a song of the Lord. It was quite simple. It went like this. It says, the enemies scatter before the Lord. Let his enemies scatter before the Lord. Great, good, great is his name. And then two more verses, and that was it. But that was a song of the Lord. It was literally, the words popped into her head, and the melody and everything, and it's just prophetic. It's just proclaiming something that's on God's heart right now for the church. And it's often also seasonal, so we're probably not seeing that anymore. So that's just if, and it's really, I'm not going to go into that now. Just got a few other things I want to, just want to see if I've got the scripture here. I'll read that a bit later. Okay, so Acts 2, everyone knows. But this is just to put you at ease that from the New Testament, where the Spirit was poured out, we no longer need prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and those guys to prophesy. It was given to everybody when the Spirit was poured out. It says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. And this is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel, which was that prophecy. And this is still, it's a continuing thing. It's where God, he poured out his Spirit, and now we all have access to that gift. And my question really is, why do we see so little of that in the church? Like, when last have you been in a meeting where it was just like, when the program was completely overthrown, where the Spirit came and prophecy just happened? Like, when last were you? We don't see that that often, especially in the Western Church. And I really feel there's a couple of things that I want to highlight and want to just, like, if we can get that out of the way, I think we're gonna see more of that happening. Okay, the first thing is. So I've got a few things just that I want to quickly talk about, and then we're going to carry on worship. The first thing is a desire, okay? I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching at myself as well. So it says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, words of knowledge, healing, all those gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy. And it's really in God's heart. Because that's the place we hear his voice and where he comes and edifies us and gives direction to the church and reveals Christ. And I really feel God wants us to just like remain in that place. But we need to have a desire. It's not something that you just have. It's a gift that we need to desire that God will give to us. And I don't know, Bernie probably explained to you like different levels of prophecy. This is like the gift of prophecy, which the Spirit gives, but then you also get the office. This is now, the office is more like you get a pastor, teacher, prophet. They're like the Uber, like God raises them up as like a prophet over a region and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just like everyday Christians, not in the ministry or in the ministry, but just desiring that gift to really hear God's voice and just speak on his behalf, okay? Then the second thing is control. So us in the West, we love control. We love being in control. We know like our church service is going to be an hour and a half and we might stretch it to 2 hours, but like three is just way too long. We like our set of songs, like we're singing only two and then four. And it's blessed, you know. It's good to have structure. God does; he's not a God of chaos; he's a God of order. But in that structure, as I said, there needs to be a freedom for us to move beyond that structure. And why don't we? Like, why? Does any one of you? It's comfortable. Doesn't want to, which comes back to the desire. Fear, in control. It's nice. It's because you know what's going to happen next. You know, and I think it's something, like when we went to Africa on a mission trip, they are the opposite. Like the Africans need to tell them, okay, guys, if we say 9 o'clock, we don't mean 11 o'clock, you know. So our cleaner We asked her the other day, like, what does she do on Saturdays? And she said, no, they've got church. And so she said, we asked her, like, how does it work? When do you have it? No, we start sort of around 9. And then how long does it carry on? No, we end around about 6 o'clock at night every single Saturday. And the cleaner that helped us before that said same thing, but then their church has church every night, like every night of the week. That's what they do, you know. So they've got more time. And so they start coming at 9, and then they start worshiping, and people start singing, and then they've got Bible study groups and stuff. But it's just like there's more space. There's more freedom. Like the same happened on that mission trip that I just want to tell you. So we sang about we were there for about a week. The first day I picked up, the songs are very simple, so I learned all their songs. And then when they saw that I could play and sing it, they said, now I must now lead the worship. So I'm like, but what? So basically they forced me into leading the worship. And because it's like this guy with a guitar from this Western guy with the long hair and stuff, so it just like drew lots of crowds, you know. But the like people would just come, and then they would start singing the same songs like every service, and they would carry on for like 20 minutes on the same song, and I'm like, man, and they just get more amped, and then the spirit just starts moving, and it went, like I'm not like in that space. And then when I was like, what's that in English? When I look again, then the spirit is upon that those people, and they just start moving in the spirit and singing and going like nuts before God. And next time, same thing happens. So it's just, so there's something, we can learn something from them, they can learn something from us. There needs to be a balance. And one thing that I think that we need to do is simplify the songs, maybe, I don't know. But not, yeah, no, I'm not sure, I love our songs, they're beautiful songs. But we need to pick songs that lends itself to flowing in that sort of, in that freedom, just having maybe one or two chords that just interchanges and a simple rhythm and not too high, you know, it's just like, just get practical around it. But I'm going a bit off my point. And the scripture here is in Isaiah 40 verse 13, which is one of my favorite scriptures. It goes like this. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? Just want to read that again. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? And I think we so often try to tell God what he needs to do. We tell the Spirit, no, you need to now do this. And that's not how God works. Because it's plain in Scripture. We can't direct the Spirit of God. And so what God just does is he just backs off. Now, it's not like he's not grieved or anything. It's not like we've sinned. But we're missing out. So I had this picture the one time where, and this week, quite a while back, let's forget that one. The one that I saw just recently was this massive empty river, okay? And we're waiting for the water to come in. So it's like a dry riverbed and lots of space for lots of water to come in. But then we pump it in we put up a pump, and then we pump it full of water, but it's only like this deep. It's not really full of water. And we come every time we just do that again, you know. So basically we're just missing out on what God has. So God says, put away your pump, just worship me and just wait on me. Like I really feel God wants us to, that yearning for his presence and for his spirit, that then has to return. That's just so in my heart, that God will come and flood that river. And I mean, you can just imagine, like in the spirit, if that happens, just the symbol of water of the river just bringing life, you know, to just the masses, to people that are hungry and thirsty for God, are just going to flock to that river, because it's like the living water of God just flooding that river. Okay, so, but before that can happen, we need to give God room, you know, to do that. Okay. Then the next one is fear of man. I'll probably wouldn't mind if I tell this. She had a word the one time in church, in worship. She felt she needed to go and share a word, but she was afraid that she heard it wrong. It's not like, and I think all of us have been there. You hear something and you think, no, it's ridiculous. I'm not going to share that. And the word was, join Bible school. So it was too simple. And then the preacher preached on Bible school. That was like the whole sermon went about on like Bible school. And at the end of that sermon, the pastor went on her knees and said, please join Bible school. It was like the last bit. And it's just, I think often we don't want to come because we're afraid of, but what if I'm wrong, or what's people going to think about me? So, it's just the scripture, Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not you do not do the things that you wish. It's like that. We need to overcome that fear and the flesh saying no, like face up your black, like don't go there. And just to encourage you, that's what I said in the beginning, is really also on my heart for us as a church, is there's freedom. There's just so much freedom for us to move, behind our comfort zone. Yeah, if you think about it, like if you make a fool of yourself, say you walk and you do something, like say your pants falls off, okay, in the street, right? Luckily you've got something underneath, but now, like you're all embarrassed, right? And then you pull it up, and everyone has sort of a laugh and chuckles, and they walk on. 5 minutes later, everyone's forgotten about it. It's, or not even five. Like, maybe your best friends might bring it up again, but no one really cares, you know? Like, if that's, and even more so in church, like in God's house. Like, if you think about those of you who come from a healthy family, no, I believe all of you do, but like even in, like when your sister, your brother, when they do something funny or make a joke, or whatever, or it's fun. That's God's house, and I think we sort of miss that, especially when it comes to the prophetic. We get all serious, and then we get all like, now we need to zone, and we're now gonna, move things. We're not moving it. God's moving stuff in the spirit. We just in that place of obedience and allowing God to do what he wants to do. But it's complete freedom, and it's a safe environment to make mistakes, okay? Then awkward silences is my fourth one, okay? I'm often in that place, and I just made a peace with that I'm not like those professional, you get those professional guys, they're worship leaders, and it just seems like everything is perfectly rehearsed, you know, like, but it's not, but they like make it appear as if it's just like so polished. And that's, no, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, often we actually need to just like be silent and just wait, like awkward silence. So it's like, that was almost too long. You know, it's like 10 seconds or whatever. So the one time we had a, I think Henri was also there. A couple of you might have been there. We had a worship weekend, and Fred taught. And then afterwards, it was such a God message. And I was supposed to facilitate the meeting. And I didn't really know what to say. I'm like, I'm completely blown away by this message, you know. So I just felt like that scripture just came to mind, be still and know that I'm God. So I just said, let's just all be quiet, you know. which doesn't really happen very often in church. So we just waited. We went completely quiet. I think we stood. Can't remember if we stood or sat. I think we stood. Yeah, we stood. And then we waited for, it was all recorded. So afterwards I asked, I'm going to tell the whole story now, but afterwards I asked everybody, how long was that silence? So they said, no, at least 10 minutes, you know, or 5 minutes or whatever. So I counted the seconds in the recording. It was a minute and a half. Okay. And then the most amazing thing happened. We started singing. But I still don't know if it was, it was definitely not only us who sang, but I'm still not sure if it was us or angels who kicked off the singing, but it was, we were joined by angels that, like, that moment for a few minutes, and it was the most beautiful music that I've heard in my life. It was like, who of you were there? Yeah. It was like, you're like looking around, like, who's doing the singing, and like, you don't really see anyone singing, but you know, yeah, it was incredible, you know, and it's just, God just did such an, he did a very delicate thing in our hearts. Like, everyone that were there were changed in that moment. It was like we had an encounter with God's holiness and with his presence that I've never experienced before. And LaSalle entered the meeting sort of late, and when she heard the singing, she just sort of, not fell to the floor, but she couldn't stand anymore, so she just went and sat down. God's presence just, like, came. And I was wondering, like, what would have happened if we just said, thank you, Fred, that was great, let's pray and then go home. You know, we wouldn't have been unsaved, but we would have missed that, like, special moment. So, guys, I really desire to have more of that, and I believe all of you do too, but we need to create space for the Spirit, and the Spirit of prophecy to just, like, and so often we, like, in a worship environment, now you're singing a song, and I've seen that as well, you're so sort of used to that structure, that the moment we sort of veer away from that place, we just bring it back sort of to the chorus, and then just carrying on, and it's nothing bad, but it's just like, sometimes I shouldn't do that. Shouldn't tell it. Anyway, I count the bars and like, okay, it's going to be work. But I think like, no, man, just like, just hang there. Just hang there. You know, just like, and I think even just like when you're alone with God, it's not only in where, I'm like, I'm talking very much in a corporate environment, but with your walk with God, like, in your quiet time, just hang there. Just sit down and just be quiet and just wait on God. And like, if he doesn't speak, just wait a little bit longer and maybe he will speak. You know? Yeah. It's, I really feel God wants us to just give him just more room to speak, because we're so used to like this quick lifestyle. You've got your WhatsApp and you've got everything and you're like constantly busy. And God never, you're never making that time to just wait. And that's right there where God actually starts. Like, when I drove here tonight, I asked God, what is on your heart? And this is now nothing to do with it, but I just feel on shit. What is on your heart for us? I really want to know. And then he said, he wants us to move into his rest. And to me as well, I'm not there, you know, but God wants us there. He wants us to move into his rest. Why? Because that is where he can connect with us, you know. And what he specifically told me is he's not changing our circumstances. Like, I've got two kids and it's going crazy. Like those of you who've got two, like a newborn and a two-year-old will know what I'm talking about. It's really the most amazing, blessed time of my life, but it's not like me time. That's sort of something of the past, you know. But, so he told me, and some of you are going through other things, that it's just a busy life. And he's telling me he wants us to move into that place of rest while this sort of still carries on. So he's not taking us out of our environment and putting us on Maldives or somewhere where it's like just this, like I saw a drone video, I think Bernie also saw that, where the guy surfed, they surfed Indo, and like the guy, they've got this quadcopter that films this whole thing from the top, and they go and they lie on this perfect beach. It's like just this blue water with the green palms and the white sands, and it's like, oh, that looks amazing. But that's like in a spiritual sense, I really feel God wants us sort of to move into his rest, not physically on an island, but just a quiet place where we need to just make time to, yeah, I've made my point. Okay, so, just the thing about also practicing the Spirit and practicing the gift, it's just we need to spend time like doing stuff like this. Really want to commend you guys for taking time off and learning and stirring up this gift that God's given us, the gift of prophecy. And some of you actually have a gift of healing and you don't even know it. You know, you might have even prayed for a few people and they got healed. Practice those gifts, you know, word of knowledge. Just make a point of that. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, therefore, I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you, which was laid, given by laying on of hands. So even some of you need, like, someone just needs to, if you desire that gift, get someone to lay hands off you who has it, and God will give it to you, okay? Okay, then the last thing there, are we looking on time? Need to cancel. Okay. Cool. So then there's just one more thing that I want to talk about, and that's especially if you're facilitating, there's a point where you often need to make almost like an unpopular decision, right? Because I've experienced this again now when we went to another church when we were on holiday, and the worship team took the church, and then they sort of got stuck in this sort of very emotional, that's all that I can, it's like an emotional loop, like we got sort of stuck there. And I think it often, what happens is, like when you flow in the Spirit, the scripture says the Spirit is like the wind. Such are those who are led by the Spirit, they are like the wind. And the Spirit is also like that. So the wind would come and blow in a certain direction, so, and then it would change, you know. But then we would sort of carry on that thing that God just did, but he's already there, you know. And then what happens is we get emotional. That's all that I can, it's like an emotion, like a very emotional connection with God. And everyone's sort of on that thing. And then afterwards they would tell you, yeah, I was so blessed. And I'm like, it was blessed, but the Spirit already, he wanted us to actually just like change direction. So what the facilitator just needs to do is just change a song or stop it, or just carry on. So I wanted to play it to you, but I'm just gonna tell it to you. So it's this. I sent it to the guys. It's a recording of Bethel where they their church service. They start with a song, and then after that song, they just go into free worship, and it carries on for that worship on YouTube. The recording is about an hour, and there's not really any preaching. It's just. And then at some stage, the guys, they sing about God's goodness, and it goes very deep, you know. And the guy who led it at that stage was carrying on about, like, worshiping, and the whole church was there. And the next moment, Jeremy Riddle takes a mic, and he says, And we sing because you are good. We dance, and it just like it just takes that whole, and you almost don't realize it, but it seemed like they were all sort of they're gonna get stuck there, but you just picked up that the Spirit's not. It was fine for that moment, for those few minutes. The Spirit was there, and he wanted to do something, but then he wanted to change the direction again, and then he just sort of, and then the whole church just went with it because that's because we're all led by the Spirit. We've all have the mind of Christ. We all hear his voice, you know. So it wasn't like, it was like, oh yeah, we're gonna go and we're gonna praise now, you know. And then it just went on, and then they stopped, and then it went sort of quiet again. And then and that's the last thing I'm gonna share. Then we're gonna carry on singing. And then the keyboard starts playing, and the anointing on that piece of music was like, I can just listen to it over and over again, because it's like you just know that that person isn't playing from memory something. It's like literally playing what she hears or he hears on the keys, and that's like prophetic playing, just playing prophetically on the keys. And that carried on for a while, and then they started singing again. So that's really an example of what can happen. I wish I could speak to everybody in that meeting afterwards just to hear from them what God did. Because I know God just like, he moved, you know, he touched hearts. So I sent that clip to someone just a friend in London. And she just texted me the one night. She thought she was going to go to bed, but then she started listening to this, and God just dealt with her, you know, just through that music, through that sermon. So it's just, yeah. Are there any questions before we... Cool. Sweetly Broken. Yeah, it's called Sweetly Broken Bethel. If you just search that, you'll get to that one. It's about 53 minutes. That is the best version of that specific, or the best recording that I've heard of that song. Cool. Okay. Anyone? Questions? Nothing. Okay. Cool. Let's carry on. Bernie, do you want to say something? Cool. So what I want us to do, maybe just stand up, stretch your legs, and band can come up. We've picked a couple of songs, and we're just going to worship. You know, that's other great thing about the prophetic and about prophetic worship is there's no pressure. There's like if God doesn't want to prophesy through us, then we just there's not like you don't have to be afraid like that nothing's going to happen, because so what. God's God, you know. So there's really freedom in this room tonight. And also, if you want to come up and bring a word, don't be afraid. Like what I told the guys is, let's workshop this thing. I might even stop us sort of in the middle and say like, what just happened, and let's start over. Okay, replay. Let's do that again. Cool. Piece of mic. Just want us to, if you desire the gift of prophecy, just raise your hands. No. This Lord just has a... as a gesture of our desire for this gift, Lord, we just raise our hands now, Lord, and we ask that you will give it to us, Lord, as a church, Lord. I pray for each one of us with our hands raised now, God, for that gift, Lord, to just be imparted now, Lord, by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus, Lord. That you'll come and teach us, Lord, to prophesy, teach us to just minister in the Spirit, to facilitate, to just flow with your Spirit, to follow that wind, Lord, when it turns, to turn with you, Lord, where and grow stronger, God, to blow stronger with you, God, to, yeah, I pray for us, Lord, I ask for your growing gift, Lord, in us now, God, that we'll grow in that gift, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you just for invitation, Lord, tonight, God, and this week, God, what you're busy doing, Lord.